Hi everyone, this is John. I hope you're all looking forward to our Deadline Day special episode. Just a quick heads up before we get into the episode proper. The introduction, for reasons that I can't really understand, seems to have been lost into the ethers of the internet. So it goes straight into some conversation about the Baltimore Orioles. If that catches you unawares, then I'm sorry, but that is what it is. Enjoy the episode, guys, and we'll catch you again soon. Darius, what exactly have you been putting the Orioles through this week?
Well, this is all Tom's fault, really. He wanted to know, with the Orioles, I think they're 41 and a half games back right now, which is ludicrous. And he wanted to know, I guess, exactly how ludicrous that is. The answer I came out at is extremely ludicrous, but you'll have to read the whole piece to find out just how unprecedented that is.
Yeah, so we're here again in the lovely environs of the Home Art Centre in Manchester. I've got a can of Magic Rock High Wire West Coast Pale Ale, and Darius, I believe,
I'm on the neck oil.
Beaver Town neck oil. Last time we were here, we were being a bit more professional. We weren't drinking beer because we had a special guest on the other end of the line. Of course, that was Carlos Pena, and we didn't think we could do it just the two of us. So we've got a sort of special guest on the line. I think he is a repeat guest. Maybe someone who makes the odd appearance on this podcast. It's Richmond's answer to Sergio Romo, Ben Carter. How are you, Ben?
I'm good. I'm feeling a lot of pressure. Just the smallest boots to fill in Carlos Pena. But I'm sure I can do a good job.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Ben, have you ever pitched, gone to the field at third base, and then pitched again?
I think I probably have, to be honest. Yeah. That seems like something that would happen most games, really.
So the Rays have just copied you?
Yeah, essentially. Trademark Richmond baseball. There usually comes a point in every game where someone just stands on the mound, looks out hopelessly and goes, "Can anyone pitch, please?" Just put his hand up and jog in. Not quite what Kevin Cash did, but not far off.
What is going on there? I mean, it's brilliant. I absolutely love it. Like, every morning I get up and I'm like, the Rays have done what? But really, what are they doing?
It just feels like we're trending towards, at some point in like the next couple of months, Blake Snell catches for Rays. Like, it's just going that direction.
I mean, they're going to have no players left by Tuesday at the rate that they're going. So, yeah, we're gonna talk maybe a little bit about the Rays and whether they'll have any players left by Tuesday, because the big order of business is, of course, the trade deadline, and we've asked you to send through your trade packages and propositions for us to rate and review. But before we get onto those, we'd probably better touch on some of the big moves that we've had so far, because we obviously haven't had a podcast since we spoke to Carlos, and there's been, to be honest, quite a lot of movement in the meantime. I think this has ramped up steadily since the All-Star break. So, should we start with Machado to the Dodgers, a move that felt inevitable for some time? Darius, maybe you can take this one. What did you think of the package? It looked, I mean, I'm not a prospect guy. You're far closer to this than I am, but it looked quite light, even though it was a rental, obviously.
Yeah, I think Yusniel Diaz is the only close to premium guy in that package. Very good on base skills. I think questions about his power, and he's probably going to end up corner outfield spots. So I think people worry about that. If he's not going to be a 25-30 homer guy, then maybe it doesn't play up that much. But I think he's the most talented. And then, yeah, the back end, just a lot of depth pieces, really. Nothing too significant. They didn't give up Verdugo, didn't give up a guy like Buehler. Cabot Ruiz is a catcher they're very excited about, held on to him. So I think the Dodgers will be pretty happy with that. And yeah, it was kind of, for a while we were saying, well, the team with an obvious need is the Dodgers, with Seager out for the season, and it ended up happening, which is kind of unusual for trade rumors, I guess.
Yeah, they're going to win the division though, aren't they, Ben? Quite clearly now.
I hate to say it, but almost certainly, yes. We did talk a lot about their struggles at the start of the season when everything was going wrong, injury-wise and on-field-wise. But yeah, like you say, this move clearly makes them stronger. It's a perfect fit with Seager out for the season. And whilst I'd love to think that if not the Rockies, someone else in that division can give them a run for their money, what we've seen, especially over the last few weeks, suggests that won't be the case.
Yeah, unfortunately, although the Rockies have been making moves of their own, and we'll come on to that in a second. Rockies are going to Rocky. But before we come on to that reliever, let's talk about some others. Brad Hand and Adam Simber going to the Indians for Francisco Mejia. That's probably the most eye-catching trade so far, in that Mejia is a premium prospect, the number 8, I believe, in Baseball America's mid-season rankings. Hand and Simber, both controllable. Hand, a very, very elite guy. Felt like a bit of a light package for Hand and Simber, even particularly given the control that they had. I don't know if you, I think we had a bit of a conversation and we were pretty much agreed on that, weren't we?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, obviously, for the Padres, given whilst Hand and Simber being cost-controlled excellent relievers is useful for them, it also means it's a, sort of the perfect time for them to sell, where they can get a return that's a little bit higher than they would in, say, a year or two's time. And I think I mentioned at the time, it kind of depends on how much you rate Adam Simber. He's kind of a pop-up guy who's got a funky action, gets good results, but you wouldn't look at and think there's a shutdown reliever. So clearly, you know, there's belief there from the Indians, and the Padres maybe thinking it's a chance to sell high. And Mejia's an interesting prospect in that, you know, a catcher by trade, but one that a lot of people seem to think will have to move out from behind the plate. If he stays at catcher, he's, you know, an elite prospect who offers a bat unlike many others back there. If he has to move out, then the Padres may come to regret this trade a little bit. But yeah, it seems like the days of big package moves like Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman are over. Teams are a little bit wiser now to the fact that those premium prospects are harder to come by. So maybe this was the best the Padres could do.
Yeah, quite so. Or Anderson Espinosa for Drew Pomeranz. he was good last year, was old Drew. Zach Britton to the Yankees, Darius, that's kind of felt inevitable as well. But why are they signing another reliever and not a starter?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have kind of commented on this was as much to keep him away from the Astros and the Red Sox as it was to bolster their bullpen, which I don't know how many players deep it goes now, but they can probably run a whole playoff game with just only the bullpen at this point. And maybe they will end up doing that. We'll have to wait and see, but they certainly have the resources to do so. Yeah, it's looking pretty ridiculous when you think Britton's, you know, maybe the fifth best guy in that bullpen right now.
Yeah, well, Chapman, what did he throw, 16 balls the other day when he came in? 19 pitches, 16 balls, and...
Hey, we've all been there.
16 is nothing.
It's a shame Sergio Romo wasn't on third base, to be honest. So they said they had to bring Chase and Shreve in. I turned it over because I thought, oh, they're going to blow the save, and I turned it over, and Chase and Shreve got a double play instantly. It's like, oh, my goodness, what a letdown. Anyway, so, yeah, Britton to the Yankees, the rich get richer. What about the Red Sox and Nathan Eovaldi for Jalen Beeks? I don't, before I have my 10 pence worth, does anyone have any thoughts on that? Are you gonna pour water on the fire that I have for Nathan Eovaldi, Ben?
I don't really have very strong feelings about this, which I get the sense maybe you do. Eovaldi's a guy who for a long time has looked like potentially breaking out as a mid-rotation guy, but never really consolidated the stuff into results. But he's a nice pickup for the Red Sox in terms of giving them depth of rotation, especially as a couple of the back-end guys have started to struggle of late. I don't know a lot about Beeks, but from what I've seen reaction-wise, he's a guy who a lot of Red Sox fans love, but a lot view as a risky prospect. So, yeah, I'd be interested to see what you think, but it seems like a deal that makes sense, at least on the surface.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good business for the Rays, to be honest. I mean, the Red Sox needed a starter, particularly since Rodriguez's latest ridiculous freak injury. How has anybody had worse luck with injuries than Eduardo Rodriguez? This is a guy who's basically injured his leg in the three times in three seasons, and the circumstances in which he's done it is fielding a pop-up in spring training, slipping off a bullpen mound, and being slid into by Lourdes Gurriel Jr., the most cavalier baseball player currently in Major League. That guy is just crazy. He looks like he doesn't have a clue what he's doing. Yeah, head first slide at first base. He's twisted his knee again. Anyway, Eovaldi, yeah, I don't mind it. But back to Beeks. I saw him pitch, actually. I saw his debut when I was over in Boston, and he looked overawed. He gave up some Fenway Park cheapies, a home run to Leonis Martin, and a wall ball off the monster to Nicholas Castellanos. So I think he was relatively unlucky, but he wasn't locating his pitches. He's been a pop-up guy himself this year. He was maybe in the high 20s in the Red Sox farm system, and he's maybe up to seventh or eighth on some people's lists as of now. I think it's good business for the Rays, but I think it's also the type of deal that the Red Sox needed to make for the time being. Eovaldi looks interesting. Jeff Sullivan wrote a really positive piece about him a couple of weeks ago, being the best starter on the market. So, you know, I'll trust Jeff's opinion over my own. speaking of starters, traded just before we got going on this podcast, our favorite egg lookalike, Jay Happ, was traded for a brace of chickens. Brandon Drury and Billy McKinney, not Billy McKinley, the former Scotland midfielder, unfortunately, which is how I read it initially. That looks like quite a nice deal for the Blue Jays, I thought, with Brandon Drury in there, Darius.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, again, this is a guy there only, you know, a couple of months, like Eovaldi, and they're getting a ton of team control back. I think I've kind of been a bit baffled by the Drury love. This has been a thing in fantasy circles as well prior to the season. I think people were like, oh, Brandon Drury's going to be in the Yankees lineup. He's going to be a great fantasy player. I think he's okay. I think he's, you know, a complimentary piece. He's fine, useful. McKinney is hitting for a ton of power this year. I think he's got like 13 home runs in about 200 plate appearances. Really? In the minors this year. So kind of interesting upside there. And obviously both of them are under control for a while. So yeah, I think the Jays have got what they could for Happ. And I think, you know, the Yankees are kind of looking very thin really at the back of that rotation. So they needed to make a move there, I feel. And they've gone and done it.
What do you think on the Jays? Is this them done? Are they going to move anyone else? There's been some soft suggestions that they might move Stroman, who's obviously having a real down year. And they are obviously on the far side of that bell curve. Donaldson's gone at the end of the season. Martin doesn't look the player he was. Maybe this is the time for them to push their chips in.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd say about trading Stroman is this is probably about the lowest his value's been at any point in the last few years. And I would be reluctant to move him at this point just because I feel like I kind of missed the window already, even if it was just to wait until the offseason, see if he can recoup some value in the next couple of months. But Donaldson, they were obviously hoping to move him if they didn't contend, and he's still not off the DL. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's happening. You're kind of running out of obvious pieces. I mean, Justin Smoke is under contract for a huge amount of time and could be an interesting bat for some people. I think the Mariners probably could do with the first baseman, to be honest. Ryan Healy does not get on base, and Justin Smoke certainly does, but I don't know that they have the pieces to really make that kind of move anyway.
Yeah, there's a suggestion that Luke Mayle was maybe being looked at by a couple of clubs, at least as a backup catcher, maybe the Yankees. So Blue Jays maybe one to watch out for. The other trade that happened just before we were due to record was Joachim Soria moving to the Brewers. I don't profess that we should spend any time discussing that. It is what it is. It's a nice move for them. I don't really know what the cost is, but it's the type of move that you make if you're looking to contend. He's been good this year. I saw him get a save against the Red Sox in a game that the Red Sox lost 1-0 when Chris Sale pitched seven innings and threw the ball at 100 miles an hour. Not something I thought I'd be saying on a podcast this year. So, Ben, before we move on to the next order of business, the Rockies made a trade, didn't they? And what did they trade for an outfielder?
They did not. They did not trade for an outfielder, nor a first baseman, nor a catcher. They traded for a reliever. Yes, the same position they spent $105 million on in the winter. So, yeah, in some ways a puzzling one, because you think the Rockies have been spending over a year now trying to bolster their bullpen and fill it with pieces and make that, in some bizarre way, the best part of the team. Clearly, Bridich's idea is that whether because of Coors Field or because he hopes to get into a wildcard game or what, he wants to have a stacked bullpen, which hasn't really worked so far this year. Most of the guys that we signed over the winter have been rubbish. But it's a nice move in terms of showing intent. I think Sung Hwan Oh is a good reliever. He's done well for the Blue Jays this year. He is old, though, and he's not overpowering. And I think there's a concern that at Coors Field, he might not have the kind of stuff that will play up. And it's a shame because we got rid of a couple of not top prospects, but reasonably handy pieces. Forrest Wolves has been a name that's been thrown around for a long time as someone who could be an impact player at the major leagues. It's starting to look like he might not be. I think he's had consecutive shoulder surgeries and back-to-back seasons or something like that. But yeah, and it's a bit of a nothing move in a way. I think, sure, he makes the bullpen better, but you're looking at, what, 20 innings down the stretch, if that. So I don't think it's going to be a difference between us finishing, you know, in the postseason and not. But at least it's a sign that we're trying to win.
Yeah, maybe you are going to go for an outfielder. We'll talk about the outfielder I think you should move for maybe towards the end of this podcast. Get some hot takes ready. But before we move on to that, rather overshadowing our request for you to send us through your trade deadline suggestions was Tom's fun tweet from this morning about Mike Trout, which was a hypothetical. Who would you trade from your club one for one? Who would you not trade from your club, sorry, one for one for Mike Trout? And some of your takes, I've got to be honest, guys, are absolutely outrageous. You're clearly watching a different game to the one that we're watching. But anyway, so I've got some of them. Before we give you our thoughts, which I think are probably quite obvious, let's go through some of them. So Dan Roach says Mookie Betts. Now, that one's not too crazy. I think you could make an argument trading. You wouldn't trade Trout for Mookie Betts. I don't think I'd agree, but would you guys actually hear that argument out without laughing in someone's face?
Yeah, I think there are a very small group of players that I think you can make a justifiable argument for here. And it's Betts, Lindor, and Jose Ramirez, I think, who mm-hmm. are all very young, under good team control, you know, good on both sides of the ball, and are much cheaper than Trout. So if you are under the consideration that you know, taking on Trout on his 30 million plus contract is actually a problem for your team, and I don't really buy that it's a problem for any major league team. I think if you get Mike Trout, you can probably make it work. But we've seen the Angels not do that for the past few years, so maybe that's not true. But I think if you're going to say it's true for anybody, it's true for those guys who are also elite, if not as elite as Trout, and I think have, yeah, the team control and the age on their side.
There was a lot of Cubs fans suggested either Javi Baez or Chris Bryant, and quite a few Yankees fans similarly said Judge and Severino. Do you think that you'd have them in that bracket with Betts, Lindor and Ramirez, Ben, or are they, I mean...
Probably not Baez and Brian. I mean, I can see the argument for Aaron Judge in that he's a fantastic player with a ton of team control who, like Darius said, contributes on both sides of the ball. So I think that's like an outrageous call, but I think if you're being completely objective, taking off your team's hat and looking at the facts, it's hard to argue with, for any reason other than money, taking those players over Mike Trout.
What about a couple of older players? Scherzer and Sale both got mentioned several times by Pippi Nat Talking, said Scherzer. A few Red Sox fans said Sale, and I love Sale, but no. Yeah. What about Scherzer, though? Scherzer's an interesting one because I just love him. I love watching Sale as well, but I think there's just something about him in terms of his attitude. Clubhouse presence or intangibles, having two different coloured eyes, you know. I'm not convinced. So a couple of other people took it a very different way. So Mike Shipley, our good friend and Blue Jays fan from over in Leeds, said that he wouldn't trade Vladimir Guerrero Jr. one for one for Mike Trout. Do you think that's outrageous, Ben?
I did when I first saw it, but Mike sort of put like a little justification underneath it too, which did make sense to me in terms of how the players fit into the Blue Jays window as it stands. Guerrero is not a sure thing, but about as close to a sure thing as you can get, at least with a bat in the minor leagues. You know, clearly a can't miss prospect. And Mike Trout's under contract until 2020, if I'm not wrong, whereas Guerrero would be under contract for at least 4 or 5 years after that. So I can see the argument that whilst Guerrero probably will never reach, well, almost certainly will never reach the heights that Trout's reached in his career so far, over the time frame that we're looking at for those two players being on the Blue Jays in this hypothetical, Guerrero will probably be more valuable to the team. So again, I think it's hard to argue against taking Mike Trout, especially when looking at a guy that has zero major league at-bats. But I kind of see his argument, you know, at the same time.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Would you, Darius? I think the other thing that Mike said was that he would feel sorry for Trout moving from one team that's doing absolutely nothing to another one. And I rather like the nobility in that suggestion.
Yeah, I admire that. That's certainly nice that he's thinking of Mike Trout's feelings after having been stuck on the Angels all these years. I think there's a couple of problems that I see with it, and I certainly get the argument for their team control and the edge. Firstly, Trout is, I mean, kind of elite at everything, depending on what you think of defensive metrics. Maybe he's just kind of an average centre fielder, but he's an excellent base runner and he plays a premium position. Most scouts think that Vlad Guerrero Jr. is going to end up at first base before long, and I don't care how good you hit. And let's be honest, if Vlad hits like Trout hits, then he's going to be a fantastic player,
mm-hmm.
and he's still going to be worth much less because he's not going to run the bases like Trout does, and he's not going to field like Trout does.
He is fat.
he's a larger guy, so no matter how well he hits, and I think he probably will hit, and that's another question, whether he will actually play up to the extent that we expect in the majors. And then the other issue is, I think, treating him as a static asset. If you say, you know, in this isolated environment, can you see the value to the Blue Jays of having the longer-term player? Yes, I can. But if you say, who do I think would get you more in a trade if you found the right team, I think it's Trout. So there's nothing to stop the Blue Jays turning around and going to the Astros or the Yankees or a team in contention and saying, hey, do you want 2 years of Mike Trout to, you know, near guarantee you a playoff spot and good World Series run every year? I think they probably would give you anything for that.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So the final suggestion was from Alexander Wist. And I'm breathing in deeply before I set off, because I'm sorry to say that this is one that I found quite baffling. So, Alexander, you're obviously a Braves fan and you're quite welcome to your own opinion, but the notion that you wouldn't swap Mike Trout for Ronald Acuna, for, amongst other reasons, Ronald Acuna having had a better start to his career than Mike Trout, is not a rationale that I'm going to get on board with, I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it there. That one did make me raise not one, but two eyebrows, quite far up my head. I don't know if anybody else had the same reaction.
One thing I will say about like this hypothetical is I kind of don't mind fans being totally irrational with the players they like to hold on to. Like, that's kind of what fandom's about. And I know guys have super attachments to Betts if you're a Red Sox fan, and maybe Acuna if you're a Braves fan. And it, you know in your head that you shouldn't want to, you know, give up Mike Trout for those players. But kind of part of being a fan is drawing these weird parallels with players that you love and really enjoying watching them play and not wanting to give that up for anything. So whilst I'd be concerned if front offices were acting like this when looking at trades, I think in a way it can kind of give fans a pass, just because fans are stupid and irrational and love players for different reasons. And so whilst that's kind of a nothing argument, it's also one that I'm like, if you want to have Acuna, have Acuna.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's making me think, whilst I'm listening to you, would I trade Trout for Koji? No. 42 years old. Just need to see that splitter every night, guys, or every morning when I wake up. Need it.
Maybe you can go over to third base sometimes as well.
Koji at third base. Oh, my goodness. I don't think he'd have much range. given how he had to air himself out before
Maybe
he...
Your Pablo, pick one.
Koji or Pablo, goodness, as a pitcher,
Pablo's got a mean curveball.
Yeah, he has. Certainly better than Koji's when he used to throw that as a starter. That was back in the day, right? So that was our first Trout hypothetical of the day. Before we move on, I just wanted to say that I think my favorite response of anybody's to this was from Paul Holland, who's a Rays fan. And he said that the Rays would only be interested if the Angels threw in their top prospect as well as Trout. And in fact, they'd probably rather have the top prospect. I think that's probably right. But they would obviously see the residual value in Trout and would definitely get a pretty humongous return for him. Their farm would look Preller-esque.
Plus, Trout and Rays is like a marketing dream.
Yeah, and the Angels have actually done a very good job with their farm system the last couple of years. Joe Adell, I think, is their top prospect now, and he looks like an extremely exciting player. So we're not talking like the Orioles' top prospect here.
Thanks to John Coppolella, inter alia. Okay, so that was the first Trout hypothetical of the day, and the one that you guys over on our Twitter feed have been keeping us amused with, but we had our own going in our team Slack channel, and I have to be brutally honest that I kind of lost the thread because I came in about three quarters of the way through the conversation, but I picked up the tail of it. So I'm going to hand over to you, Darius, because to be honest, this was really yourself and Ben who were having this conversation between yourselves.
Yeah, well, I think somebody tweeted in response to the initial Trout question that they would trade the entire Rangers roster for Trout. And so then we started thinking, which teams would you not do this for? Which teams are so bad or just have a roster constructed in such a way that you would not actually be able to improve your team enough to make up for the loss of 9-10 wins, whatever it is you think Trout gives you. And I think Tom set the rule that you kind of, you still have to keep 25 players. So you go through all the players you get and then you just cut the ones who don't make your sort of arbitrary cutoff of quality. And so we were kind of trying to figure out which teams are so bad that...
So you could DFA the one. So, you know, say you're the Angels and you think, right, I've got Ian Kinsler, the second baseman's not an upgrade. You just DFA the second baseman.
Yeah. Or the example Tom gave was that they could just get rid of Pujols and they wouldn't actually have to just pay him any money. I don't know why he threw that rule in, but it does make it a lot more appealing in a lot of cases.
Maybe the rule should be that you've got to keep Pujols.
Yes. Can you make your team good enough with Pujols? Yeah, that's a good question.
So where did you guys end up? I'm assuming that you wouldn't trade the Royals 25 man for Mike Trout if you were Los Angeles.
We would not. I would struggle to find more than, I don't know. I think off the top of my head, I could only think of a couple of players at most who would really be a clear upgrade at all on the Royals roster right now.
Name them.
I think you could find a role for Whit Merrifield. He's become a handy major league player.
Yeah.
Whether you would play him at second base over Kinsler, I don't know, but he has played the outfield as well. I mean, I guess you might just want something from the pitching staff just because the Angels are so injured. Mm. I think we did also say that everybody was healthy, which if you could just make yourself healthy, then the Angels would have a lot less problems anyway.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, actually, outside of Merrifield, I am struggling a bit to think of it.
Okay, well, we'll move on from the Royals. Which teams, Ben, did you think that you think this would be worthwhile for? There were a few in play, weren't there? The Rangers, I think, we maybe ruled out as well.
Yeah, the Rangers we can probably rule out. Like Darius said, there's not a lot of teams. I think we sort of looked at a team like the Reds as being one that doesn't have a ton of major league talent, but that actually matches up quite nicely with the Angels' needs. Just because they have Joey Votto, who's obviously a clear upgrade over Pujols at first base, plus they have an excellent third baseman and second baseman in Suarez and Gannett. So I think we looked at teams like that and thought maybe if there's clear sort of compatibility in terms of rosters, you make the move. The one that I threw out there was the Rockies, my own beloved Rockies. Again, as a team where you look at the roster and actually, especially in the lineup, there's not many players you'd probably take if you're the Angels, Arenado being one and maybe Charlie Blackmon and Trevor Story another. But the Rockies pitching staff has a lot of question marks. Like we mentioned, there's always going to be upgrades available. But I think a team like that is probably sort of on the border of you'd make the deal. I think maybe we do overvalue Mike Trout in that, you know, he's worth, 8 to 10 wins most seasons. You can probably make that up from most major league rosters in terms of a couple of superstars, a few incremental gains here and there. But I think you'd have a pretty seriously tough time making an argument for teams like the Rangers, the Royals, a few of these sort of cellar dwellers, which is kind of fascinating to think about when you're talking about one player being traded for 25 and a bit of an indictment.
Here's a hypothetical, because I don't think we discussed this morning. Would either of you have done it for the Orioles as constituted pre-All-Star break?
With Machado and Scope and Britton and Jones. I mean, I don't think that Adam Jones is a particularly valuable major league player anymore.
Trey Mancini.
Yeah, again, they have a lot of types who shouldn't be playing the outfield anyway, so I think that negates a lot of their value. One of them could definitely play first base better than Albert Pujols can right now. So that would
Chris
help.
Davis definitely
and,
couldn't.
And Machado probably gives them a 5-6 win upgrade at third. Then I guess with Gausman and Bundy, maybe you get there, maybe you get past 10 wins.
Is Scope not going to be better at second base than Kinsler?
Kinsler is still a good defender. I think it's close. I think if he's an upgrade, he maybe is a one-win upgrade. Mm. But you could certainly use him. If nothing else, you could use him at DH when Otani's not playing. So that would be something, I think. So, yeah, maybe I'm more inclined to take them than I am quite a few of the other teams we've discussed.
Which all sort of brings it back to, we knew the Orioles were going to be bad, but how are they this bad? I just do not understand it.
Yeah, that's the incredible part to me, that we're still surprised. We all came into the season going, the Orioles are terrible, and now we're astounded at how terrible they are.
Yeah, Chris Davis. My goodness. Anyway, I think we should do a whole podcast on Chris Davis. we should write poems about him because I think he deserves it. Somebody's got to do something for that poor guy.
I'm reminded of like the Sam Miller article from like 5 or 6 years ago now, where he hypothesized that Mark Reynolds is actually blind. And I'm starting to think that same theory might apply to Chris Davis, who inexplicably takes strikes down the middle of the plate and awful hacks at breaking pitches, almost as if he's having trouble picking up the ball. Probably not completely blind, admittedly, but some of the swings he takes makes you think that he's got difficulty actually picking the ball up out of the pitcher's hand.
Well, my mum had a cataract operation last week, and she says it's been revelatory. So maybe I'll ask for the name of a doctor, and we can get we can get Chris Davis a referral to Carlisle.
There are players that have had LASIK as well and suddenly come out. I think I kind of want to say that Wilson Ramos is one of those guys, maybe.
Okay.
I know there's been a two or three players in the past few years who've had it and suddenly, you know, come out and hit much better. I think Tommy Pham's had eye issues as well. He wears special contact lenses for something. Can't remember what, but he certainly improves after having that addressed.
Okay, so that was our own Trout hypothetical. Maybe we can do more of that in the future. I think we may be treading on the toes of another podcast, which we're all fans of, and which Darius is indeed wearing the T-shirt of, just for Ben's benefit. He's showing that to the screen, the Effectively Wild podcast. So if you liked our Trout hypothetical, our steer in that direction, then that's where to go to get it 3 times a week, to be honest with you. That's your bag. Right, so moving on to the final order of business. I've just been checking my phone to see if there are any more trades or any more suggested trades in the meantime. There were the one or two from you, but I don't think any at large, but I'll keep my eyes peeled. So I've got a list of them here that you've been sending through. The most recent one, which I think perhaps relates to his performance in the current game for the Cubs, from UK Cubs guy, which is Mike down in Birmingham, Mike Ivory, is he's suggesting that the Cubs can trade Tyler Chatwood for anyone, literally anyone, even Chris Tillman. Well, I've got good news for you, Mike. You can get Chris Tillman for nothing because he opted for free agency yesterday. So you can keep Tyler Chatwood and have Chris Tillman at the same time. So, you know, that's that. That's that little conundrum resolved for you. Also, Chris Tillman was apparently called on the Rockies broadcast this evening ineffectively wild, according to a message that Tom sent us earlier, which is pleasing. Not Chris Tillman, sorry, Tyler Chatwood.
I did try to warn everyone about Tyler Chatwood. He struggled at Coors Field for a long time with some nice stats in the background, like ground ball rate and a reasonable K rate. But yeah, he's a maddening pitcher, no pun intended, on the Cubs. So I think that's one that I'm not smiling at, but I'm kind of a little I told you so at the same time.
Right. There you go. Well, I watched the game that he pitched against the Cardinals last week, and I have absolutely no rooting interest in that game, but I was just getting so frustrated with the amount of walks he was getting. It was something like 9 walks in the game.
Can't believe that he's walking so many batters and he still has an ERA as low as he does. It's unbelievable.
It's mad.
It's pretty much a walk, right?
Pretty much. It's bonkers. Oh, Tyler Chatwood, he's someone we should definitely dig into in more detail in a future podcast. We should do that. We should try and find some people who've just had crazy years, Chris Davis, Tyler Chatwood, and essentially harangue them as though we could do better. Pablo Sandoval will be in there.
Pablo's having a renaissance, didn't you know?
Another one.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Sure, we'll hear all about that in Boston. Him and Hanley Ramirez and Drew Pomeranz's bounce back next year. Anyway, let's move on. So here are some of the suggestions that you guys have sent. I think some of these are sensible. Others may be slightly more tongue-in-cheek. The first from James Feldman. Would you trade Austin Meadows for Chris Archer, Ben?
It's an interesting one. Remind me, I'm going to show my lack of knowledge here. How long is Chris Archer on the contract with the Rays for? Do any of you know?
I think he's got one more year of standard team control, but they signed him to an extension, so they've got 2 more option years. So I think he's not free agent until 2022.
Okay. Because, the first thought I had was that the Rays would want more for Archer than this. But then the second thought I had was they might not be able to, because Archer's kind of been trending in the wrong direction for a little while in terms of a guy who looked like being an ace who was pitching great in the toughest division in baseball. And now he's, you know, you should still say his flashes. I think he struck out 11 in like seven scoreless innings the other week.
Thirteen.
But he's had, you know, control problems. He's had the occasional injury flares. I think there's probably some teams that might question his attitude too, rightly or wrongly. So it's an interesting one. Meadows, obviously, a guy who's rated highly. I think he's in most top 50 prospect lists or thereabouts, and someone who you could see the Rays being interested in. But I think as it stands right now at this trade deadline, I don't think they pull the trigger on that. It's not the worst, you know, offer I've ever heard.
I think if you're the Pirates, you do that every day. I don't see why they'd want to, though. I mean, are they in a window? I know they've won 11 in a row, but are they in a window to get a wild card this year? I don't think so. You know, are they going to be over the next couple of years? I think they're only really going to get worse, aren't they? I mean, you know, they're an okay team. They're like one of the. They're very like the Rays. This would be a funny trade because they're both those types of teams that seem to be coin flip teams every year, regardless of what their roster is.
Yeah, they've got a lot more analytic over the last few years. Travis Sawchuk's Big Data Baseball is actually very good about this. So they do a lot of creative things there. I don't really know. I mean, I think we kind of wrote off the Pirates a bit in the preseason until about 2 weeks ago. That looked like a great call. Mm. And now they seem to have dragged themselves back into it. But I don't see them being a clear contender, certainly in the next few years. And you don't expect the Cubs to go anywhere. The Brewers look really well set up the way they've kind of navigated the last couple of years. So I don't know that I would necessarily want to kind of go all in and trade a guy like Meadows, who they've got for another 6 years, even though Archer has got a decent deal, certainly for the kind of pitcher he is. So I don't think that they would necessarily be that interested in doing it.
While we're on the Central, what about the Cardinals? Because I think that the trend is that they're going to be quite quickly the worst team in that division. Do you think that...
I can't believe the Cardinals will ever be the worst team in that division.
Devil magic, obviously.
Every time.
But they are. I mean, if you discount the Reds' ridiculously awful start, which was all down to starting pitching, which even at modest levels, which is where it's at now, is enough. They're like a decent team. The Cardinals are the worst team in the division. So should they not be moving people? I mean, they won't, because they're the Cardinals. Apart from Mike Matheny. Thank heavens, pun intended, he's gone.
I can't wait until like 60 years from now, we're talking about the Mike Matheny curse that was placed on the Cardinals the day they decided to fire him. And they've never been to the World Series since, et cetera.
I think the Cards are just going to keep being there. I think their player development is very good. I mean, the guys they brought up, didn't they have back-to-back no-hitters going into the seventh inning earlier this week with two guys that most people have never heard of? They just do this all the time. I think their player development is so good that they're never going to be truly terrible.
They've still got Colton Wong at second base, though.
True. He's a good defender.
It's not a good base runner. 2013. Anyway, I think Austin Meadows for Chris Archer is a good deal for the Pirates and a terrible deal for the Rays. There is absolutely no way that Tampa Bay takes that. I think they want at least one of those arms, probably Nick Kingham. I think they'd probably rather have Nick King than Austin Meadows, to be honest.
I mean, Meadows is also a guy who really struggled. He was a hot prospect and kind of saw his stock go in the tank completely. And he's done kind of okay in the majors this year, but I think there are still a lot of questions about whether he can really stick as a major league hitter.
Right, so the next one, I think, is tongue firmly planted in cheek from Rob Navera. Plus ça change. Chris Davis and two prospects. Which prospects? First, Rob. This is the Baltimore Orioles. They don't have any prospects. To the White Sox for a player to be named later. The question for you guys is, can you name any players on the White Sox?
I can. But this is the advantage of playing fantasy baseball. I can sadly name far too many players in the White Sox.
Apart from Joachim Soria, who's now on the Brewers, I watched the White Sox play, and with the exception of Yoan Moncada, I can't actually remember any of their names.
We're going to play one of these games. Name five players off the White Sox show.
Trace Thompson.
That's where you went, Trace Thompson.
Did he even play for them?
Is it correct?
I don't know if he is currently playing for them, you know. I think he has done, but I couldn't tell if he was currently
an outfielder. Outfielder. He hit three home runs called Nick something.
Matt Davidson,
that's him.
Third baseman, hit three home runs, I think maybe on more than one occasion this season.
Matt Davidson, Nick Davidson, Nick someone, outfielders, third. He played the outfield.
Jose Abreu, you've heard of him?
Yes, I've heard of him, yes.
He's on the White Sox.
Cuban. yeah, he's a good player. Maybe if he was the player to be named later, that would be a deal. No, that's not. Rob, come on. That is just silly.
I mean, it is an interesting question. If like the Orioles were still trying to contend and they just wanted to get his contract off the books, would some
Make
team
him
take
away.
Him for a couple of prospects?
But they don't have any.
They have Yusnel Diaz now. I think Ryan Mountcastle is relatively well regarded.
Dylan Tate,
yeah, they just got from the Yankees. So there's something. If you said to them, do you want a couple of decent prospects to take? I think Chris Davis probably has like 100 million left on that deal, or something, doesn't he? That's a bad one.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a good player to be named later. It probably would be Trey Thompson, actually.
James Shields, big game James.
Yeah, that imagine that. Chris Davis for James Shields, and it goes the same way as Matt Kemp for
this is one of those 5 years ago, this would have been an amazing trade, isn't
yeah. Oh my god, oh
Chris
my
Davis
god.
And James Shields.
Chris David for James Shields. Imagine that if Chris Davis went to Chicago to guaranteed right field and all he needed was a guaranteed right to start hitting again.
hits 50 bombs again in Chicago, yeah.
He's basically just, you know, 2019's version of Matt Kemp. Wow, that is absolutely wild, Rob. That even by your own standards is just stupid. Try better. Try and be better. So Alexander Wist is back. He had a question earlier on, a suggestion about Ronald Acuna, which we poo-pooed. How are we going to poo-poo this one? Let's see. Gary Sanchez and Justice Sheffield for Kurt Suzuki, Nick Markakis, and Bryce Wilson. It's certainly inventive, Ben, isn't it?
Very inventive, yeah. A lot of, well, some big names, some names I hadn't heard before. I saw this tweet. It's an interesting one. It seems to be a part of like a reflex reaction across Yankee fandom to Gary Sanchez's pretty awful play a couple of days ago, which as someone who is lucky enough to be a part of a lot of New York Yankees groups on Facebook, I can say in general, Yankees fans, not a fan of Gary Sanchez not running out that ground ball. But it's a classic overreaction in a way, in that we're looking at one of the most talented backstops in the majors who seemingly
was carrying an awful face. Yeah.
Yeah, that too. Who seemingly was carrying an injury and has not had a great year, so a lot of frustration. But I think if I'm the Braves, I pull the trigger on this deal pretty sharpish. I know Nick Markakis is a guy who's got a pretty good reputation there. He's having a wonderful season. Kurt Suzuki's had something of a renaissance over the last few years. He's looked great. This other Braves guy, from my quick Googling, seems to be an okay prospect. But on the Yankees, you're looking at Gary Sanchez, who's a potential guy to build a team around, a catcher with power. And Justice Sheffield, who seems to be one of the Yankees' most highly regarded prospects and someone who's not too far away from contributing at the major league level. So yeah, it would be a weird trade. And I can't see Brian Cashman pulling the trigger. He's not known for his trades like this. But if I'm the Braves, I'm taking it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. The chances of Brian Devil Magic himself, Cashman, cashing in on this trade are less than nil. And that's knowing that he wants a backup catcher. No, this is never going to happen, I'm afraid. I could see it from the Braves' point of view, but you're going to have to throw in a couple of better prospects than Bryce Wilson to make this work from the Yankees' point of view, and probably some more playable major league assets.
I was going to say, aren't Suzuki and Markakis both in the final years of their deals, I would guess?
Yeah.
Yeah. So not really getting anything then.
Nah. Might be more interesting if you put Julio Teheran in there instead of Nick Markakis. Then I think the Yankees might entertain it, given their need for...
You know what Tehran can't do, though? Get lefties out. Pitch. Which seems like a bad combo with Yankee Stadium.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was going to say, well, JD Martinez isn't lefty, but also hits in that porch. So Miami Marlins UK, who goes, this is less a proposition, more just a straight up question. Who goes from the Marlins pen, and will anyone pay for Real Muto, Darius?
I think probably Kyle Barraclough is going. That seems to be what people are talking about. He's been closing. I think he's the most obvious target. There's not a huge amount else there. Drew Steckenrider is having an okay season. I think Adam Conley is kicking around in the Marlins bullpen. Maybe people would like an upgrade there, kind of at the back end with Conley. As for Real Muto, I don't think he is going. There haven't been any realistic offers touted. I don't think that they've been asking, like, I think they've been asking the Nats for Victor Robles, things like that. So I don't think anybody's willing to blow them away with a deal. And it kind of looks like the Nats, who has been a team linked with them for a while, might actually be cashing in themselves shortly. So I think the suitors are dwindling, and I kind of expect them to hang on to him. And they have Real Muto for a few years anyway, so I don't think there's any need for them to move him now.
Yeah, Real Muto strikes me as one to go in the winter, I think. That'll be when he's primed and fattened, ready for Christmas and the trade market. Maybe they'll trade him to Joey Mello's at the winter meetings for Joey's cash. That would be a suitable return because he's going to be at the winter meetings, which, given the antics that he's getting up to, everywhere he seems to go, I absolutely cannot wait to see what he gets up to at the winter meetings. Joey, if you're listening, I know you're having an amazing time, but honestly don't think you're having as much fun as we are following you. Next one's from Ash Day. So first thing to say is that Ash has actually written a really good blog on this particular topic, so go and check that out. We've retweeted it. Ash writes really good stuff about the Indians. So his question is, where will Adam Jones end up, fellas? Who can you see him going to? Phillies, Cleveland, or maybe even San Francisco? Or do you think he'll stay put? I'll say right away, he's not going to stay put. No chance. Not with half a year left. I know he's a really big guy for the Orioles, maybe even more so than Machado in terms of being the face of the franchise. But they've got to go. They've got to restock that farm whilst they can. He's a movable and a fungible asset. He's going to go. Is he going to go to San Francisco though, Darius?
It feels very on brand for the Giants with their moves, with getting Longoria.
Faces of the franchise.
Yeah, getting McCutcheon. Bringing in Jones would really complete the face of the franchise moves that we've been pulling off. And the offense is certainly not good in San Francisco. So as much as I don't think Jones is a terrific hitter anymore, it probably would be an improvement for us. Did you know that Hunter Pence hit his first home run of the season earlier this week? Believe it or not.
Wow.
So, yeah, I could definitely see San Fran if we've got something that the Orioles want.
Oh, my goodness. So he doesn't just look like the guy from the Wet Bandits. He's now as good at baseball.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Sadly, I love Hunter with all my heart, but it's been very bad.
And what about the Phillies? It feels like that might be a nice fit for Adam Jones, actually.
Yeah, it seems like he's been linked quite strongly with the Phillies a couple of times. He'd be a nice fit there. He could slot into their outfield and sit alongside guys like Herrera and Hoskins when he's not running into the wall out there, which would be interesting. Well, I mean, Jones just hasn't been that good for a little while now, has he? He's clearly on sort of the down slope of his career. He's never put up very strong on base percentages. And I think a lot of teams are starting to be wary of the fact that it's not worth paying for a rental that isn't going to provide much value down the stretch. So I'll be interested to see what kind of package he's linked to, because I would expect it to be pretty light. But for the Orioles, they kind of have to deal him. It's a bit negligent if you don't get rid of an asset like that with only a couple of months left on his contract when they're not competing. So I'm sure it'll end up somewhere, but I think the return's going to be pretty light. But yeah, I mean, someone on the downside of his career who was great 6 years ago is definitely a good fit for the Giants. So
that's the dream, great 6 years ago.
Just imagine that team, Jones, Posey, McCutcheon, Sandoval, Longoria, Cueto. It's literally a who's who of the of baseball.
Yeah, even Bumgarner isn't looking great now. Really do with like 2014 Bumgarner back.
Yeah, it's like a dream team on the show 2012, that, isn't it? Okay, so next question is from Russell Eason, our regular contributor, who's a really brilliant thinker on baseball. Go and check Russell's stuff out. He asks, Jacob deGrom's value will never be higher than it is right now. Why are the Mets so reluctant to sell? And I'm going to take this one, and I'm going to quote David Roth's article on the Mets this afternoon on Deadspin, which you should read. And the answer why the Mets are not going to sell is because they are a skunk-infested Quiznos franchise. And if you've never been to Quiznos, think Subway times a 1,000,000% worse. That is why the Mets are not going to sell, because they are the Mets. That is the only conceivable answer as to why the Mets are not going to sell. They think they're going to contend next year, which they're not, because they're rubbish. Ben, do you want to push back on me at all?
Yeah, I'm a little bit irrational when it comes to DeGrom and the Mets. I've long had a soft spot for the Mets. I think I predicted them to be the wild card winner this year, which is looking really good right about now.
We're going to be talking about that next week. Looking forward to it.
It's just one where I think they can compete next year. And
they can't, Ben.
And they probably can't. I think you're right.
He's in the tank before as well, so you can't trust his opinion.
I'll be saying this until the end of time. But, you know, there is enough talent on that team that I can see them being good next year. I just don't see a return for DeGrom that matches the value that he has right now. Looking at a guy who's got the best ERA in the majors, he looks fantastic. He's not young anymore, but starting pitchers kind of have weird age curves anyway, so I don't know how much you want to read into that. And it's just someone that I don't see them getting value back for right now. Even at the best of his game, I don't think he's going to get that, like, consensus top five prospect coming back in return. And I don't want to see him, you know, pitching for another team and the Mets going into full rebuild mode, which is a little bit selfish of me. I just like watching him pitch in day games at City Field. It would make a lot of sense for them to market him strongly and get at least a good offer on the table. But I don't see him leaving, and I'm quite happy with that.
Okay. I think he should. I think they're absolutely crazy not selling him now. But they're not going to, because they're not. So the last question that we're going to touch on is coincidentally and ironically from a Mets fan, Jeff Enderby. He and Jeff wrote his first piece for us this week, which is about Dodger Stadium, which is really cool, a sort of psychogeographic view of a visit to Dodger Stadium. Jeff lives in Mexico City, but is originally from Coventry, where he was the best friends at school with my girlfriend's brother. And we had never met before he approached us to write for us, which proves that the world is a weird old place. Anyway, beside that point, Jeff asks, or rather states, and I think it's for us to debate, seriously, I think you have to trade Harper, get back a couple of top 10 guys from a contender. And indeed, there have been reports from Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports this evening that the Nationals are priming themselves and getting ready to sell. Harper wasn't mentioned. The names that were mentioned were Kelvin Herrera, Ryan Madsen, and Sean Kelly, the three good quality arms that they've got in there. Penn, who are rentals, all of whom you would think would get a half-decent return. Herrera, of course, who they brought in from the Royals just a couple of weeks ago. Are they going to trade Harper? They're not, are they? But they should, shouldn't they, Darius?
It kind of feels that way. Nothing is really breaking the way they want it to. Strasburg is back on the DL. It doesn't seem to be panning out. We've seen this before with the Nats over and over again. They're not a huge amount back. It's kind of starting to look like they're never going to drag the deficit back, but it's not that they're sat here 15 games out of first place. So I can see the temptation to hang on, but the fact that they are now thinking about moving some of these pieces does suggest that they think it's pretty unrealistic that they're going to keep up. They do have to overhaul not one but two teams to get there. And yeah, it's just not really looking like they've got the pieces behind Scherzer in that rotation. Obviously Harper himself is having a good season for most players, but not by his standards. So maybe that's one thing that's kind of holding them back. They don't feel like they're getting the return that they would want to get for him. But yeah, I can't see them moving him. And I wonder what impact it would have if they are hoping to re-sign him, whether they think that would affect negotiations if they moved him on somewhere. Mm. I feel like Bryce is probably the kind of guy who wants to play in the playoffs and hopefully go to the World Series. So I can't see it bothering him too much. But I've seen some people suggest that would be a negative thing in negotiations in the off-season.
Yeah, I saw an interesting take on Twitter earlier this evening, which I think was from John Heyman. Apologies if I've misquoted you, John, or indeed the person who actually said this, that the Nationals are quite like the Tigers were in 2015 when they ended up selling on Price and Cespedes on deadline day. They're in a really similar place where they're trying to contend. They've got this old, irascible owner who's got lots of money, keeps ploughing his money in and trying to make them win, and they just never quite win. I think that's an interesting parallel, Ben.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the Nationals are a fascinating one just because of the amount of top-tier talent they have that would be extremely valuable to teams going down the stretch. Sort of as Darius said, I can't see them selling, but there's no doubt that if they said, listen, we're sellers, there's guys there that teams would want. Harper's obviously top of that list as a rental and would fetch probably a pretty handy return even in a down season. But the rotation has a couple of really interesting guys in it. The lineup has a lot of talent top to bottom and the bullpen piece you already mentioned. Obviously this season represents an extremely bold strategy from the Nationals in terms of stopping themselves from being beaten in the division series again, just not make the playoffs. be that strategy this year. But it's one that I think they won't be sellers just because, as Darius said, they're close enough. And there's so many good players on this team that you kind of think at some point they put it together. But we've been saying that for like all season and it hasn't happened. And at some point they might lose patience. So I could see it happening.
Right, so we're just about there. That's all of your questions, but I've got one more, just a bit of a wild card to throw in there, as I did last time with Carlos. I don't think any of our takes are going to be anywhere near as scorching hot as his, but we can but see. I want each of us to pick a bit of a wild card trade. I won't ask you for the return. I'll just ask you for a name and the team that they're going to go to between now and Tuesday. I won't hold you to this because I'm putting you on the spot. So I'll just give you two guys a couple of moments to think about it because I'm just putting you on the spot and I've just thought of one. So I'm going to take the inspiration from James and say Chris Archer is going to be traded to the Oakland Athletics.
That's Ben. The same team I was going to say.
Uh-huh.
But I was going to go with the man we were just discussing, Bryce Harper.
Oh, yeah, love it, love it. And Darius?
I kind of want to say something to the Mariners because I feel like they're on the brink now. They sort
Chiesa.
Of he's going to make a move and the A's are rushing up on them and I think they're going to feel the pressure to do something. So I think maybe they make a trade. Maybe they go to the Jays and get Stroman for something to bolster that rotation a little bit.
Okay, there you go. You heard it here first. Harper and Chris Archer to the A's and Stroman to the Mariners. And that would definitely be the wild card race to follow.
Harper to the A's be like the least Billy Bean trade of all time, do you think?
Yeah.
Moneyball 3.0.
When you zig, they zag, etc., etc. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I hope that you enjoyed our trot around the trade deadline. We'll be back with you next week. We've got two podcasts, hopefully. First of which is going to be not quite a Red Sox special, but we might release it under our Red Sox strand, which is going to be a conversation with Brittany Ross, who is the wife of the former Red Sox, Rangers and White Sox pitcher Robbie Ross Jr. We're going to talk to her about being the support network for a Major League Baseball player, about her and Robbie's charity Mission 108 and the work he does in India and in the United States. She's really cool, like a really interesting and lovely person who uses her platform for good and has a really fascinating and interesting perspective on Major League Baseball from the outside. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Tom and I are really excited about doing the interview and hope that you guys are going to be excited to listen to it too. Our normal pod, which will come out later next week, we're going to revisit some of our predictions from earlier in the season and basically see how wrong we are and prove to you that we know absolutely nothing about baseball. Hopefully it won't lead to a downturn in our listenership. But before those go out and those come out next week, we'll leave with the usual order of business. Guys, where can we find you online and what have we got to look forward to from you, Darius?
So you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. You can check out the article that John mentioned earlier about the Orioles if you are interested to hear just how much of a gulf there is between the Red Sox and the Orioles and how that stands up in historical terms, then check that one out. And you can also find me over at Baseball Prospectus, writing fantasy content there every week.
And Ben, where can we find you? Is it at MLB London Series?
Well, it is occasionally. It's at UK Baseball Blog most of the time. And hopefully I'll be writing something like soon, because I haven't done it in ages. It might be something about the Rockies with the trade deadline lurching ever closer. But
please do write about Rockies relievers. That would be some ace content. I'm sure it would get lots and lots of reads.
I would read it. I'm fascinated by the Rockies and this reliever thing.
Quite a lot of expletives involved.
And you can follow me in all the usual places at batflips_nerds for essentially bad baseball memes, and at t'other Twitter account for poor movie recommendations, bands you've never heard of, and hastily deleted political tweets, which I recognize might not be good for my career. And that's all we've got time for this week, and we'll catch you again soon. Bye.